Hey, welcome back, everyone. My name is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. If you are just now joining us, I'm glad you're here. Stick around. We have a great lesson ahead for us in our study through Esther. We are in lesson 5, and this is day 7. We're going to be at Esther chapter 6. Grab your Bible. We're going to jump in with prayer and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today. May you be glorified in all of our studies. Help our minds to focus and our hearts to receive what you have to teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead and grab your Bible and we're going to jump in again. If this is the very first time that you have joined us or you're just seeing this glance by on Facebook, stick around. We got a great Bible study going on here. Glad you're with us. And I'm going to share a screen with you so you can see exactly what we're doing. We are in lesson 5, like I said, day 7, and ready to go into our lesson with the very first thing we do after prayer, which is just reciting and rememorizing the Bible. And we are working through Psalm 42 right now. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. Let's focus in on our memory verses for this particular lesson, which is 9 and 10 of chapter 42 of Psalm. So let me read those to you and see how you're doing. See how I'm doing too. Eek. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Ugh, kind of a hard negative one to land on today, but I think we're just paused there. You can read the whole psalm. You can read the whole thing. It doesn't end negative. This is the tough part. This is the part of reality where you feel like everyone else around me is just egging me on and harassing me for believing in God. And that's how the psalmist feels as well. Maybe you relate to that. Esther chapter 5, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Let me read those with you right now. On that night, the king could not sleep. And he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about the Bigthana, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? The king's young men who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's young men told him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Dun, dun, dun. All right. And our meditation passage is Psalm 27. So let's go ahead over there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide my heart in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. My mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look on the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Oh, I needed this good reminder today. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to read this again after we finish our study today. Right now, I'm going to continue on. You read that again as well. Maybe you need it today like I do. What series of apparent coincidences occur in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5? Let's take a look back at all these little coincidences? Well, first of all, while Haman had been building the gallows, the king has been sleepless. Interesting. The king tries to cure his insomnia by reading the Chronicles. And of all things to do, all dates he could have possibly been reading, his man happens to read the part about Mordecai foiling the assassination plot. The king asks who's in the court, and it happens then to be Haman. All these things layer up on what is happening. All right. So how is God at work in the king's insomnia? Can God use our insomnia? Can God direct us through our sleeplessness? Does the Bible even say anything about this? Let's take a look. I'm going to close down Psalm 42 and open up Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. Look at this fascinating reminder from God's beautiful, holy, amazing word. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. Sometimes we can't sleep. Sometimes even the rich, you would think the rich would surely be able to sleep. No. They got troubles too. And we see that the hand of God is moving even in this scenario. What is God doing while we are sleeping? What does he do? Let's take a look at Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. Get my computer time to scroll that open. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We may sleep. God never does. What is he doing? He's looking out for us. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will keep us. He will not slumber. He keeps Israel, not just the individual people, but the entire nation, all of God's people, he says. That's how much God knows and cares. He does not slumber. What about you? What do you do when you're sleepless? I'm curious. Sometimes I just lay there and I'm just sleepless. Listen to the rhythm of my husband sleeping. Listen to the noises outside. Listen to my mind being restless. Sometimes I hop on Facebook, social media to scroll through, hoping it'll put me to sleep. Sometimes I read a book. Sometimes I read the Bible. Sometimes I'll pray, especially if I've woken up and I'm especially thinking of somebody, maybe a dream about somebody, and I'll wake up and I can't sleep. And I think, well, maybe I need to be praying about that person. And I do. Maybe I'm praying about you. Maybe pray that I would pray about you. How's that? Wait, don't pray that I'll be sleepless, though. I like to sleep. All right. Think of all the possibilities available to a king like Ahasuerus to get him over his insomnia. I mean, my goodness, he could have had one of the women of his harem come in. Bring me one of my women. Bring me 10 of my women. Bring me some food. Let's go play a game. Let me just lay here. Play me a song. My goodness, he's the king. He could have ordered anything to have happened. He just so happens to order that his book of Chronicles, his history, his records be read to him. And he has all these other choices he could have made. And this is what he ends up having. I do lots of different things when I'm sleepless. All those different things he could have happened. But he gave orders to bring the record. He says in chapter 6, he says he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles. The book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles. Think of all the books containing Chronicles that eunuch could have brought. And he just so happened to bring the one book that had Mordecai's account. Wow. All right. Let's compare Esther chapter 6, verse 4 and Esther chapter 5, verse 4. Both Esther and Haman come before the king with something prepared. Both Esther and Haman have Mordecai in mind. Who's prepared for what? What were Esther's hidden motives? And what were Haman's? Well, let's take a look over here at the scripture. If you can see it, I'll call it up on the screen. Esther chapter 6, verse 4. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about what? About having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Esther chapter 5, verse 4. And Esther said, if it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king. Both of them have their preparations. Both of them are up to something. We have Esther and we have Haman. Esther has been prepared for what? This feast. What's her motivation? To exonerate Mordecai. Haman. Haman's prepared for the gallows. What? To get revenge on Mordecai. See, they both have their preparations and they both have their motives. They both have their plans here. All right. So the king's sleepless night changes everything. How do you see the hand of God in this seeming coincidence? What is going on here? He's got this sleepless night and he ends up reading the book of the Chronicles when he could have been doing so many other things. How do you see the hand of God in all of that? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Share it, write it, mention it, drop it in the comments. Let me hear what you think about that. All right. Question 8. How might have things been different had the king honored Mordecai back when that incident happened? Back then, back when that incident happened, how might things have been different had Mordecai been honored right away? The king would have already known about all of that. Would have already been settled. The matter would have been taken care of. It wouldn't have been new news. He would have, you know, read that account and asked, has he been honored? And the guy would have said, yeah, remember, we honor that guy. And he'd be like, oh yeah, okay, move on to the next thing. But it doesn't happen that way. Mordecai doesn't get honored. It gets recorded. He doesn't get honored. And that's a deciding factor. That moment, the not having been honored, is a plot twist, is a point, is a just so happens moment, right, in this story. All right, so paraphrase this stunning and honestly hysterical to me reversal that takes place in Esther chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Let's take a look at that. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to move their scripture over to that. 6 through 11. Kind of jumping around here today. All right, so Haman came in and the king said to him, what should be done to the man who the king delights to honor? And Haman said to himself, whom should the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let his royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and let the horse the king has ridden, and on whose head the royal crown is set, and let the robes and the horse be handed over to the one, the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man from the whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse throughout the square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. And the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave nothing out, nothing that you've mentioned. Don't leave anything out. Do everything you just said. Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Mordecai. Oh my gosh. I love it. I mean, Haman, man, you got yours. All right. So go ahead and just summarize that. Drop your paraphrase in. I mean, he sets out, he thinks it's all about him. He lays out exactly how it should be done for him. He's going to ride the horse. He's going to wear the crown, wear the robe, and have somebody walk before him and shouting all this. And then it just flips all around and does that exact same thing for Mordecai instead. All right, let's take a look at Psalm 147. Lots of scripture for you today. Good. You're getting better at it. You're jumping around in your scripture and you know how to do it. Good job. I'm proud of you. Here we go. Psalm 147, 10 through 11. He does not delight in the strength of a horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Good reminder there. All right. Wait for his loving kindness. That is exactly what we have seen. Wait for his loving kindness. And that is exactly what Mordecai has done. Not like Haman and the strength of his horse, the legs of a man, his many children, his strength, his possessions, his lust for life, his lust of the flesh, and his boastful pride of life. What does the Lord delight in? Those who fear him and trust him and wait for his loving kindness. And isn't that exactly what Mordecai has done? All right. Okay, let's go ahead and close with this final thought. Mordecai's humility and patience have not only been rewarded, they've been rewarded publicly. Had Mordecai received recognition immediately, it would have changed everything. Consider that moment you've been waiting for. Think about the recognition you've been wanting. Are you seeking the honor of God? If so, be patient. Just like God's timing is perfect in delivering you from the trial, so is his timing perfect in blessing your faithfulness. Remember, God's delays are not God's denials. Trust his timing in every aspect of your life. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. From Psalm 27. So beautiful. Such a great reminder to us all. Whatever it is you've been waiting for, fast for it, long for it, pray for it, and wait and trust God to bless you as you do. All right. God bless you, as always. Thank you for being here with me. You are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being with you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.